Christ my Lord sits far above. Every other name and power intercedes for even me. Even in my darkest hour, Christ my Lord still helps his church. As exalted head and guide, every member joined to him, all the body edified. Christ my Lord shall come again, crushing Satan 'neath his feet, heaven and earth in righteousness, God's eternal plan complete.
Well, as the ushers are just finishing up, I can start in on my announcements. Hey, aren't you so glad that what once was lost has now been found? Aren't you so glad that you're found in Christ Jesus? Many of you have lost some things, and they're all waiting for you out on the lost and found table. If you do not get them by, what is that, today? Yeah, they're going to go in the buy without money store so that somebody else can enjoy your lost treasure. Okay, speaking of the buy without money store, it will be this coming Saturday, November 22nd, from 12 o'clock noon to 6 p.m. It is a free store with donated new or gently used items. Your fellowship leader has more information on how you may donate to that. All are welcome to come. And there are little information papers in case you're out talking to somebody and you would like to share, because all are welcome to come. So that means anybody you've been speaking God's word to, or if you're out in the community, they are on the credenza in the lobby. And I might just say, hey, why don't you go ahead and take one for a just in case? Because it might come across this week and you go, ooh, I wish I had grabbed one. It doesn't hurt to take one. It's just a little piece of paper. There is also an opportunity to volunteer before, during, or after the event. There is still a need for during the event. So if you're on the fence, you can always talk to Brian and get more information. So you can talk to Brian or Katie Wolf if you have any questions or you're interested in volunteering. Okay? It'd be great to see all of you there next week. Important. It's that time of year again where sometimes we have sunshine and sometimes we have snow. So if there is inclement weather, if that requires a Sunday morning fellowship to be canceled, there will be an alert posted on the main page of our website at 7:30 on that Sunday. So if you wake up on a Sunday and it looks questionable outside, always check that main page of the website. That's ssg.org. Church? Okay. All right. And that's it. So before our teacher, Sean Quinlan, comes up to teach this morning, we're all so excited. Let's sing, Until Then, I Will Live for Him in Glory. It is number 126. Yep. Feel free to stand up, give it a little stretch. Shake out the legs. There we go. All right, Tom, we're ready. You can do a little dance, too. Yeah. You should have just kept with it. We were okay.
Impart the commanding cry. The Thanks, Bethany.
Welcome, Sean.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning, and God bless you all. How are we doing this morning? Wonderful. It is an incredible privilege to stand here before you today and to be able to share God's word, and I thank Tom for that awesome privilege. And before we get started, I'm going to pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the abundant grace you've shown us through Christ our Lord. We thank you that we have the opportunity to serve you in this life, to be your very own, your precious children. Help us, Father, to seek you, to know you, to walk out in all that you've given us with confidence, knowing that you love us and that you will care for us every step of the way. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can start turning to Genesis 1. Over the past few Sundays, we've been looking at our blessed hope, and we just sang about it a bunch this morning. The things which are to come, right? That the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is that something we're guessing is going to happen? No, we know that's happening, right? And that's such a comfort, it's such a joy to know that that day is coming. This morning, we're going to look at something that we can pursue here and now in our new life in Christ as we await the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That a relationship with God in prayer, a relationship in His Word, that's something that we can and should pursue. I'm sure there's a number of us in this room that have been following the Lord Jesus Christ for many, many years. Some of us maybe a couple months or less. Maybe some of you haven't chosen yet to believe. I hope and prayer is that as we go through these things this morning that, you know, if you have been in the things of God for a long time, that you'll be further convicted and helped. So, Genesis 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now let's skip down to verse 14. So I'm going to be going from the King James and the New International today. Hopefully I don't muddy them too much because I am using a parallel Bible up here, but I will do my best to let you know which version I'm going to be in, okay? So we're going to be in the New International version this morning for right now. And verse 14, it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing which the water teems, according to their kinds and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas. And let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. I took time to read through this morning because God in his infinite wisdom created all things. If we just take a moment to consider that, consider that life as we know it was created because God is so powerful. All he had to do is speak, and it became life. It became living. He made man in his own image and gave man dominion over all that he made. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. As he created this man, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there was it separated into four headwaters. Skip down to verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to care of it. The Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. This relationship that God had with man, it was natural. It was beautiful. It was perfect. It's exactly what he had wanted. He created this amazing and beautiful thing to bless man. He set man up so that he would have dominion over all of these things and they would all live and work in harmony. This man, unfortunately, disobeyed the one command that God had given him. You know, in all of creation, did God choose to talk with bears, with fish, with birds? No, he chose man. He wanted man. That was his desire. And praise be to God that when Adam sinned, God didn't just start over. He could have wiped the slate clean, right? He could have said, okay, this is it. We're done. You guys messed it up. I guess I'll start over. Was that in his power and in his authority to do that? Absolutely, he could have. Instead, he made a promise of a redeemer, that Christ would come and restore his relationship that he wanted so dearly to have with man. In chapter 3, verse 7, we'll read a little bit more in Genesis. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. This was after the fall, right? So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they what? They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. How sad, right? Man. from this point forward, man died spiritually. No longer had that connection, that bond with God. That connection was completely severed. And God worked throughout the Old Testament through different individuals to try to bring about, well, not try, he did, to bring about the Redeemer, the Christ. The relationship that he desired with man, we can see tidbits of that as we look at the different people that he worked with throughout the Old Testament. Not too long ago, our sister Hannah had done a teaching about Moses, right? And he was a humble man. Was he a man of great speech and a man built for war? No. No, he wasn't. God chose to work with him because he was humble. Because when God instructed him to deliver his people, he didn't say no. Was he hesitant? Yeah, he was hesitant, but he never said no. And God worked with him. Go to 1 Samuel. There are so many that we could look at and see, but we're going to go to 1 Samuel, and this is a time where God's people were looking around at all the other nations and pleaded to have a king, because all the other nations had a king, so why can't they have a king? It's an unfortunate time, but Samuel's instruction here gives us a little understanding of the type of relationship that God desires to have with man. So 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. This is the King James. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he's done for you. Fear the Lord. Stand in awe of him. What did we just read through Genesis? Is he a God that can be, that we can stand in awe of? Absolutely. Stand in awe of this God. Serve him in truth with all your heart. And that's what God's after. He's after the heart, right? God's not interested in having pre-programmed robots. He wants those who choose him out of their own free will, that look at his wondrous works, look at how amazing he is, and say, yes, I want that. I want this relationship. I want to follow you. David was a man who, King David of Israel, was a man that followed God with his heart for the majority of his life. You can start turning to Psalm 5. I think many of you are familiar with the beginnings of David's life. If you're not, you can read through 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. He was a king of Israel that, I think similarly as I said about Moses, was he a man of great stature, a man who was ready for war? Was David? Yeah, he was a child. He was the runt of the family. It wasn't just a child. He was the least of the family that you would think to choose out of his brothers. He was a shepherd of sheep. Yet he proved God as a shepherd of sheep in fending off a lion and a bear. When this champion of war called Goliath came into the camp and ridiculed and made fun of all of those of Israel, they were terrified. Because he was a mighty man of war, an absolutely massive, terrified person. But what did David see? Did David see through the lens of the people, through the fear of this man, this earthly being? No. He saw through the lens of his God, of his mighty God, of his wondrous works, of his creation. Who can stand against this God? That was David's point of view. This man is uncircumcised. He's not even a part of Israel, which would be God's people at that time. He said, who could defy the armies of the living God? And this child, because he trusted, because he had a heart for God, defeated that champion. In Psalm 5, get kind of an understanding of this man, David. Verse 1, he says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. I'm in the NIV. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. Man. He sought after God in so many ways. He yearned for that relationship with God. Go to 1 Chronicles. Chapter 16. This one I'm going to read out of the NIV as well. In verse 8. This is David speaking, saying, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servant. O sons of Jacob, you his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. The word he commanded for 1,000 generations. This man David wasn't even a son, right? Yet his conviction for his God was something that we can look to as, man, that's what I want. I want a heart like that. I want a heart that seeks after God without holding back, that yearns to pray for him throughout my day, that yearns to love him, to care for everything he's provided for me. Let's turn to John chapter 3. A verse we've gone to quite often, and many of us know it so well. This promise that God gave to send this Redeemer was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's changed forever how one can now have a relationship with the God of all creation. Why? Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, he so loved the world. Remember what we just read back in Genesis. How much did he create to bless man, to have a relationship with man? Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Go to Romans chapter 5. Verse 6 out of the NIV. You see, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. For very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We weren't even... I imagine most of us couldn't get our lineage tied all the way back to being a part of the children of Israel, which would make most everybody in this room a Gentile, separate, far away from the promises that God had given out to the people of Israel. And yet, this Christ saved us, reconciled us as enemies to God. We now have the opportunity to have a relationship, and a greater one than David had. A greater one than Moses had. Let's look at Jesus Christ. Because his obedience is something we can learn from too, right? That he's why we're here today. He valued and cherished the relationship he had with his Father. He was the first one to be called a son. Throughout the Gospels, you see our Lord praying. You see his speech that's full of the knowledge of God's word. He so intimately knew his God. So intimately knew his Father. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Or in the King James, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All night. How many of you guys have set up routines in your life? Like a routine, meaning like in the morning I get up and maybe I pray for 30 minutes or I do XYZ. Does anybody have routines in the room? Okay, a lot of us. Okay. They are a good thing, right? And hopefully when you set them up, it's set up in faith. I set up routines in my life as well. And I gotta be careful in my heart and life with those. Because while they can be great if they're initialized and set up in faith, I gotta be aware of where my heart's at with it at all times. Because if I'm only fitting my time with God in prayer and in his word for the 30 minutes that I carve out before work or the hour that I have before bed or whatever it might be, and I confine him to just those areas and that's where he fits in, I'm missing out. I'm horribly missing out. Because he's to be the God of our whole life. Our whole life. but you don't understand. I'm so busy. Well, let's look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because if there's one that could say he was busy, I can't imagine you could say you were busier than he was. Mark chapter 1. I'll read this in the NIV. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. So after sunset, recognizing the time here, after the sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Then, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. Can't imagine he had a whole lot of sleep there. It says he got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Did Jesus value the time that he needed with his Father, with his God? Absolutely he did. Was he an extremely busy guy? Yeah, people were seeking him out, even if he wanted time by himself. People sought him out. Let's look at Luke chapter 5. I look at these things and I'm like, man, I get frustrated for just like little things. And the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ to continue to have compassion, continue to have love. Man. Luke 5, verse 15. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him, to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place to pray. And one day when he was teaching, or I'll just leave it there. So he continued to withdrew himself from everything that was going on to pray, to take that time with his Heavenly Father. It was important, right? The excuse of I'm too busy it's a lousy one. I've unfortunately used that in the past, and you're only robbing yourself if you truly believe that you're too busy to allow God into every aspect and area of your life. Now, I'm not highlighting these things to make you feel bad. I want you to experience the joy and the peace that's available by eternalizing these things in your life and having them be at the forefront of your life. Let's turn to John chapter 17. I want to take time. Yeah, we got plenty of time. I want to read this entire chapter with you. And John 17 is a prayer of Jesus Christ that he prayed before he entered the garden, and we all know what ensued after that. This prayer is such an insight into Jesus Christ's heart for his God and Father. Gives you such an understanding of how deep their relationship was, how real their relationship was. It's absolutely beautiful. And I'll start, and I'm going to, again, read this out of the NIV. Chapter 17. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ. whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them, within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, as you are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want you, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. It rocks me to read this and to see the love that my Lord and Savior had for me and for you. He prayed for us, that we might be one as he is one with the Father. He wanted and desired for us to have that same relationship he had. Our prayer life is strengthened the more we understand and know who our God is. That requires a relationship with his word, right? Lily, I'm going to pick on you. You guys are in the front row, so I get to pick on you. If I were to ask you to bring me a pen next week. Okay, she just said okay. You hear that? Now, how much faith can I put in the fact that she's going to do that? Now, I know who Lily is. I also know who her parents are. But do I really know Lily enough to know if I can truly count on her to bring that pen next week? I don't know. How could I know? Maybe if I spent more time with Lily and I knew her more and I got to know her more and know the different ins and outs of, like, you know, the type of things that she will agree to and actually follow through with. If I get to know her more, then it's like, oh, actually, if I reminded her on Wednesday, then for sure she would remember. But right now, probably not. I would only know that information if I spent more time with her and I got to know her. The point in bringing that up is, I can know the name of God. I can know the name of Jesus Christ. I can have some understandings because of what I've heard on Sunday mornings, from what I've heard from a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday night fellowship. I can hear the things that other people are learning and gain from those things, and that's great and wonderful. But that is not a substitute for your relationship with God. You understand the difference? You need to know your God and Father. Doesn't mean you need to be a scholar. It doesn't require scholarship. It doesn't require this vast, literate knowledge. You just need to be able to sit down and say, God, show me, teach me, help me. And the pages of his word will be revealed. And it is exciting, it's thrilling, it's wonderful. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The relationship we have with our Heavenly Father is, man, it is about lifting our hearts, giving the things that are going on to him, trusting him. When I was younger, I saw this verse as about asking for things, just asking for help and, just lifting things that I had, basically that just being all it was. And Josh had done a teaching a while back about God not being a vending machine. Do you guys remember that one? Pricked me right to the heart, realizing, oh my gosh, have I been treating him like that in areas of my life? Again, what he desired was a relationship with man, right? Will he answer the different things and provide the different needs of your life? Sure, of course. Why limit him to just that, right? When you can have so much more. Could you imagine as a father to a son or to a daughter if your only relationship with that person was them coming up and asking you for things and that was it? It'd be sad. Our God knows every fiber of your being. To attempt to hold back, to attempt to hide, is utter foolishness. I want to avoid some of the pitfalls of that so easily rob my relationship with God. One of the things that can rob us of that, our Lord pointedly addressed. And that was in Matthew chapter 6. Again, these are records I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. But, oh man. When believed and when we realize what's available to us in this new life, that now that we're sons and daughters of the Creator of all life, of all things, man. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good and your whole body will be full of light, but if your eyes are bad and your whole body will be full of darkness, then the light within you is darkness. How great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and the world, right? You're going to choose one or the other, and you've got to be honest on this one in your heart and in your life. Who has your allegiance? Right? What is most important to you? What's most important to me? One is going to win over the other. And the cure for this is to get to know your God on a more intimate level. Read his word. Ask him to enlighten your eyes. Take time to pray. Take time to talk to him. This is a relationship. If I spend most of my free time playing TV or watching TV, playing games, video games, filling it with projects, to-do lists around the house, and that's just, I'm jam-packing everything in there and until I crash, where is my time for God? We saw the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, he was busy, but he took that time. He spent that time. He carved that time out. Because he needed it. We need it. Let's go to 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Man, oh man. Sobering truths, right? Let's also go to Psalm 62. Another area that I've fallen prey to just being foolish in my relationship with my Heavenly Father is not being willing to wait on him. In Psalm 62, verse 5, Psalm of David. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God, and he is my mighty rock, my refuge. Being willing to wait on God is so, so important. And I think in the King James is where it says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I have been foolish in many times in the past where I jumped the gun and I didn't wait for God's answer. We're surrounded by a world that is geared towards instant answers. I mean, the internet, and now there's AI stuff and everything like that that just gives you instantaneous answers, and nobody can wait. Got to have it now. Man, I have been robbed too many times by jumping the gun. Or, I don't know about you, but I've had times where I think I'm waiting on God, but my mind starts racing, and I come up with a solution, and then put God's stamp of approval on it when it wasn't him. That one stings. That one hurts. It's foolishness. If I can just wait, allow him the time to work. Oh man, the blessings are amazing. Waiting for the answer of peace, because our God is never late. Learn how to quiet your mind enough to allow him time to answer. It is so freeing, so freeing. Psalm 130. Out of the King James verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Man, may that be our heart. May that be our decree, right? Some of the challenges we face is that we have an opponent, don't we? Right? We have an adversary, a devil, that would love it if you would just follow your own intuition, follow your own instincts on every decision that you make in your life. And if you refrain from seeking God and his word, well, then you've just let him win. That's exactly what he wants you to do, to stay put, to stay in your shame, to stay just doing nothing. Let's go to Ephesians 6. God has an answer for this. He hasn't left us defenseless. He has equipped us. He has given us all that we need in this relationship with him. In verse 13, in the King James, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The word of God and prayer are essential in standing against our adversary. When we do this, we're going to without a doubt experience the true joy and the peace that surpasses all understanding, and the joy of trusting in our wonderful God and Heavenly Father. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick. It's living. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So earlier when we looked at the first pitfall of, do I still have a foot in this world? If I'm struggling to find the answer to that, allow the word of God to cut your heart open to see the areas in your life that you need help and allow them to heal. Allow them to change you. Allow them to effectually work. These are living words, powerful words. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him who we have to do. Man. I'm going to close in Deuteronomy chapter 4. In the KJV, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh to them? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. I think you can read into that what we have, the relationship we now have with our Heavenly Father, and insert those into that. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much. Oh, your word is living. It's powerful. It's everything we need, God. Thank you so much for the relationship you've made available to us, that we can call upon your name and know you answer and hear us and you work in our life. What an amazing and incredible thing that you haven't left us alone. You had every right to leave us behind. But you chose, man. You chose to love us. You chose to send a redeemer. You chose to reconcile us. Help us to be honest in our heart. Help us to all see that peace which surpasses all understanding as we place our trust fully and completely in you. Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.